First Chronicles, please, chapter 23. I hope that I'm able to put this over the way the Lord has shown me it this morning. First Chronicles 23, please, verse 1. So when David was old and full of days, he made Solomon his son king over Israel. And he gathered together all the princes of Israel with the priests and the Levites. Now the Levites were numbered from the age of 30 years and upward. And their number by their polls, man by man, was 38,000. Of which 24,000 were to set forward the work of the house of the Lord. And 6,000 were officers and judges. Moreover, 4,000 were porters, and 4,000 praised the Lord with the instruments which I made, said David, to praise therewith. And David divided them into courses among the sons of Levi, namely Gershon, Kohath, and Merari. We know the Lord will bless his word. Keep your Bible open, please. Let us pray. Father, take your word this morning and bless it to our hearts. Take your word this morning and help us. Help us, Lord, to hear what you would say to each and every one of us, individually and as an assembly. But we pray in Jesus' name, Father, also for those who are sick in our assembly and at home. Lord, we pray for your healing hand to be upon them and with them. We pray, Lord, that you would raise them up and, Lord, bless them again and bring them into our midst and full of health. Think of those, Lord, who are away on holiday today, spending time with family. We thank you for them, Lord, and their faithfulness throughout the year. We pray your hand to be with them also. But for us who are here, we pray this morning that Christ would be exalted and glorified. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I want to speak this morning on the temple of God. The temple of God. And you know, I was thinking about what I would bring for this morning. What word should I bring? I was praying about it. And there was a word forward for some reason. Just kept thinking, move forward. You have to keep going forward. It's in my head for days over the holidays. And so I sat on Friday, I think it was. Friday. And I wrote this on Friday. And of course, in our reading this morning, if you let your eye run down, it says in verse 3, now the Levites were numbered from the age of 30 years and upward, and their number by their polls, man upon man, was 38,000, of which 24,000 were to set forward the work of the house of the Lord, and 6,000 were officers and judges. Notice, setting forward the work of the house of the Lord. This word that we have read this morning, this narrative is of the temple. David is old and has led up in store for Solomon, his son, for the building of the temple in Jerusalem. There was no temple in David's day, but in Solomon's. And Solomon would be made king over Israel after David's son Adonijah. Adonijah was the fourth son of King David. Adonijah tried to usurp the throne, and you can read that when you have time in 1 Kings chapter 1. And so when we read our narrative this morning, we see how David was old and full of days, and Solomon was made king, and he was also the temple builder for the Lord. You know, there are three ways to look at the temple in Scripture this morning. The first temple is the one that we are reading off, the first temple to be built by Solomon. Secondly, you'd find then there's another temple that we read off in the days of our Lord Jesus in the Gospels, which would be the second temple. And today we're always hearing of a third temple, but the third temple is already being built, for you are the third temple. Believer, you are the third temple. We find man builds God or makes God a temple for him to dwell in. And then as we go through the scriptures, we find that God comes in the person of Christ. And after the cross work of Christ, those who are in the Lord, the redeemed bride of Christ, he makes them the temple of God. So man makes God a temple for God to dwell in. Then after the cross, God makes a temple out of man for him to dwell in, himself to dwell in. And then in the book of Revelation, you'll find that there is no temple, for God is the temple for all to dwell in the book of Revelation. Notice, if you will, this morning, turn with me to Ezekiel 41. We want to look at the progression of this morning. Ezekiel chapter 41, please. We're just going to read a verse or two for time's sake this morning. Get it myself. Ezekiel 41, please. And if you just let your eye run down the chapter, in fact, let's go from verse 1. Afterward, he brought me to the temple. Now, take note of this. I measured the post 6 cubits broad on one side, 6 cubits broad on the other side, which was the breadth of the temple. So he's measuring the temple. And the breadth of the door was 10 cubits, and the sides of the door were 5 cubits on the one side and 5 cubits on the other side. And he measured the length thereof 40 cubits and the breadth 20 cubits. And then went he inward and measured the posts of the door, 2 cubits, and the door 6 cubits, and the breadth of the door 7 cubits. Now take note of this. So he measured the length thereof 20 cubits and the breadth 20 cubits before the temple. And he said unto me, this is the most holy place. Now you underline that. This is the most holy place. So where Ezekiel is brought to is the temple, and then he's brought into the temple to a certain place in the temple. And in that certain place is the most holy place, or what we would know it as is the Holy of Holies. Now remember, this is a vision. This is not literal, this is a vision. And so Ezekiel is seeing the most holy place. Now, when we go to the New Testament, you have two main words for the word temple. One is hieron, and the other is naos. Hieron and naos. And it's very important, because then we can measure and we can see ourselves what is happening in what part of the temple and what the word temple means. So first of all, hieron means the brick, the wood, the stone, the mortar, and so on. Wait for a wee donder. And so on. That's hieron, the structure of the building. The whole temple precincts. The whole temple precincts. The naos is the holy place. The Holy of Holies, where the high priest alone could go but once a year. And that's very important for where we're going this morning. Because I want you to see, as the temple of God, that you are the holy place of God. Even with all our failures and our faults in Christ, we are the temple of the Holy Spirit of God.
And hence the naos or the naos is the innermost sanctuary where God would meet with Israel, where the Ark of the Covenant was, where the blood was sprinkled, where the glory came down. And it's only there in all of this planetary, or this planet, this whole world that we live in. And it's only there. And nowhere else would God meet with man. He said unto Moses that, I will meet with you there. I will speak with you there at the temple. And hence when we have our reading, David is building a temple from a tabernacle to an actual structural building, and there's a holy place. By the time Ezekiel comes, Israel are carried into captivity by the Assyrians and go on their diaspora. That is the northern kingdom. The southern kingdom of Judah are in Babylon. And Ezekiel is there, and God shows him that from heaven he would allow the Judahites or the Jews to come back to rebuild. And he's showing a picture here of what would happen. By the time the Lord Jesus comes, it has been profaned. The worship has been mongrelized. Esau, Edom has been converted to Jewry, and now there are those who are not from the chosen seed line of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and through that line, they are now bringing all sorts of Babylonian Talmudism into the temple to worship when Jesus is there. Herod the Great was a Jew by his religion, but he was an Edomite by his race, if you want, or if you want, by family connection. He wasn't an Israelite. And they were spread throughout Jewry. Here's what I want you to see this morning. Here, Ezekiel is taken in the spirit to the holy place. This is the most holy, he says. This is the holy place. This is where God will meet. And unfortunately, and tragically, this was where everyone and their dog, so to speak, and their God would meet, except for the Lord. And this is important. Turn with me to Matthew 4, if you will. Matthew 4. And we all know this as the Lord Jesus is tempted off the devil 40 days and 40 nights after no food and drink. Matthew chapter 4, please. And we'll just go from verse 1. Then Jesus, led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted off the devil. When he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. And he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Now take note. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city and setteth him on a pinnacle off the temple. Now this has to be, as it were, in spiritually speaking. How could he take him? And then the devil hasn't got that power to do this. One place to the next. He's showing him to the very pinnacle off the temple. And the word temple there is hierion. The brick, the stone, the mortar, the whole of the precincts of the temple. The whole precincts. So Jesus is at the highest point, looking over the whole of the precincts of it, where God was to meet with Israel. Where God said, there's nowhere else you can meet me but here. And the devil says unto him, verse 6, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus saith unto him, it is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And we know it was a third temptation as well. But this is what I want you to see, brothers and sisters. The temple was the bricks, the stone, the mortar, the precinct. And then if you go to chapter 24 of Matthew's Gospel. Chapter 24, please. Verse 1 says, and Jesus went out and departed from the temple. It's the word hereon. Jesus went out and departed from the precincts of the temple. The precincts of the temple. And his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. Or the precincts, the whole structure, the glories of man's building of hands, with his hands. And Jesus said unto them, see ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. Now I want you to take note of this. The Wailing Wall in Jerusalem is not the wall of the temple. If it is, your Bible's wrong. If it is, Jesus got it wrong. Jesus said one stone would not be upon another. That wall was a later wall placed there, a retaining wall for where the temple was. It was a retaining wall put up. So you see the Jews going there with their notes in the wall. That is not the temple wall. Here's what I want you to see this morning. The very precincts of the building, the very precincts where Jesus was, he says all of this will be torn down. Notice the brick, the mortar, the gold, the wood, the stone, all of it. Turn to chapter 27, please. Chapter 27, and let your eye down, run down just for time's sake to verse, let's go to verse 50. This is our Lord is crucified, and when he had cried again with a loud voice and yielded up the ghost, and behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake and the rocks rent. And the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of their graves after his resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. Take note of the word, verse 51, and behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain. The word temple changes here, and it's very, very important here. Very important. We need to keep our concentration here, for this is important. The word temple is all the same for us in English, but in the Greek text it is not the same. It's the word naos. The place where God would meet them. The place where Ezekiel saw the holy place. The temple which separated man from God, the great big curtain down. Some say up to 60 foot high, 4 inches thick, some say. Ripped from the, torn from the top to the bottom. He says, it is finished, and it was rent in two. That word, the veil of the temple, was the veil which excluded man from the presence of God. And there's a veil of, a cloak of sin on people, on men, humanity. And that cloak of sin can only be, so to speak, torn, taken away, rent by the blood of Jesus. It's when Christ shed his blood, the veil of the temple, the naos, was torn. And for the first time, take note of this, for the first time ever, the people would be able to not only look and see where God would meet at the Ark of the Covenant, but the people would be able in the Spirit to enter into the presence of God. Hence today, you don't need a pastor to enter into God's presence. You don't need a denominational minister to enter into God's presence. You don't need a priest that you can pray and enter into God's presence. You don't need what you would call a canonized saint in heaven to pray for you, because you have a man in the presence of God. He's the Lord Jesus Christ, our great high priest. So the naos was ripped, or the veil was ripped, and we can enter into the naos of God. And the temple, that is the presence, was made available in the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. Turn with me to John chapter 2, if you will, please. John chapter 2. Let your eye run down again, please, to verse 18. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, what sign showest thou unto us, seeing that thou doest these things? Jesus answered and said unto them, now take note, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Then said the Jews, 46 years was this temple in building, and wilt thou rear it up in 3 days? But he spake of the temple of his body. When therefore he was risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said unto them, and they believed the scripture and the word which Jesus had said. Jesus was saying, destroy this naos. If you're going to destroy the naos, or the naos of God, the holy place, then you're going to have to destroy the whole hierion, the whole precincts of it. So they thought Jesus was saying, the whole precincts right into the very heart of it, the holy place of God, into the naos, or the naos of God, where God would meet, all of it is going to be wiped out. But Jesus was saying, see me, this person before you. He's saying, I am the holy place of God. The Lord Jesus is saying here, I am the place where man meets God. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by, what's he say? But by me. And what he's saying is, within me is eternal deity. Within me is God Almighty. And it's here man and woman meets with God. In this place, he is the tabernacle of God's witness. He is the holy place, the dwelling place of Almighty God. He is where man meets with the heavenly God. That's why through John he says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Because entering through Christ, we enter into the very naos of God. That's why he's the chief cornerstone of the temple. And that's why he's the foundation laid for us. For Christ is our all and all and our everything. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, please. We appreciate that the children are here this morning, and the wee ones, the wee bobbies, I know it's hard to keep them under control as much, you know, but and I appreciate you trying that, but don't panic, because we know that it's difficult for you this morning, especially the wee tiny ones. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, please. Let your eye run down to verse 16. Listen to what Paul says. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God? Paul's writing to the redeemed blood-washed church in Corinth here. And he says, know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. My brothers and sisters, here's the thing about this morning. Paul uses the word temple here, and it's in our two verses three times. It is the word naos. You are the holy place of God, he's saying. Bloodwise Church, you are the dwelling place of God. You are the temple of God. I don't know why it's so hard for people to get this. You are the temple of God. That's scripture. You're the naos or the naos of God. God dwells in you. As an individual, your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. As gathering together, we are the temple of the Lord this morning. And hence Paul is telling us, we are the naos. We are the holy place of God. And Christ is the capstone or the cornerstone, the chief cornerstone, and he is the foundation. Because we're in him, we are the temple of God. Notice, if you will, if any man defile the temple of God, him God shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Paul's saying it matters what we do with our body. And I read that, and I'll be honest, I'm convicted. Especially over Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, Boxing Day, and all week when you're eating, like, and I'm eating junk. Sugar overload every day. We visited the outlaws on the in-laws on Boxing Day. And I think I had about five or six desserts. That's gluttony. That's destroying the temple of God. I'm talking about me. I was convicted writing this. And I know a whole lot of us are under conviction now too. Things what we do with our bodies, where we put our bodies, to whom we join our bodies, the thing that we take into our bodies. It's the temple of God. That's why in the last few years we were saying, be careful what you do, what you take into your bodies. For your body is the temple of God. Smokers smoke and drinkers drink, and we take our bodies where the Holy Spirit, who's within us, he says this is the holy place of God. You, Christian, are the naos of God, the Holy Ghost, who lives in you. And yet some of us, or some people, go into the world and live like the world, and we also think of fornication and other things. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you, for he has with me. I don't mean to bring you all on a big downer this morning. But here's what I'm trying to say. Here's what I'm trying to put across this morning. And remember, it comes to me first. When I read it and I'm studying it and I'm writing it on Friday, God loves you. Your Heavenly Father loves you. And he loves you enough that in his Son he lives in you through the Spirit of God. And he's jealous over you. And he wants us to be right, as in walking before him, sanctified and separated unto him. He loves you and he wants you to love him enough to direct ourselves, to possess our vessels, to possess our own vessel. I'll say it again. To possess your vessel, this, the temple. So how's the temple doing this morning? Notice here, if you'll turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Let your eye run down again the chapter, please. Verse 14. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? Now you are the temple of God, Christian. We've just read that in chapter 3. We are the temple of God. So what agreement are we making with idolatry of the world? And some of the things we do or say or go or practice or believe or eat or take or drink or whatever, what agreement have we made with worldliness? Oh boy, I was looking forward to the new year too. And I've come to hear this morning. Brothers and sisters, the Holy Ghost is speaking this morning. Thank God he keeps us in check. Thank God for his grace and his mercy, but thank God that he keeps us in check. What agreement hath the temple of God with idols? Notice, for ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, because you're the holy place, because you're the temple of the living God, because God lives in you and walks in you, because he loves you and is jealous over you, wherefore come ye out from among them and be ye separate. And listen, we're always preaching that. You get saved, come out from the Church of Rome. That's all we hear. And that's true. But I would say every so-called Protestant church who does not hold to the scriptures, the gospel, the preaching of the word, come out of it and be ye separate. For there are many of that kind about. And the Lord calls us, wherefore come ye out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Come out from the world. Listen, I'm going to close this. Believe it or not, I haven't touched the first line of my sermon yet. Tell a lie. The first line is, David is old and is laid up in store. We see David laying in store. Maybe see how the Lord leads for next week. I'll maybe do this next week. David laying up in store. Solomon builds the temple. This big glorious edifice. Great temple. And then it falls away from God. And then they go into Babylon, they come out after 70 years, there's another temple built again. We read of Ezra and Nehemiah and so on. And then it falls away again with Talmudism. And Esau, Edom elements right through Jewry then. And then comes the Lord Jesus Christ standing on the pinnacle of what is left of this Herodian temple where he extended it and that wall was built. Jesus is on the pinnacle and the devil's saying, go on, throw yourself down. Sure, it's your temple. The angels will be here. Do you not meet your people here? Jesus dies on the cross for our sins and they're bringing lambs to it. Not one of them counted, and nor will they ever again in the future. The Lamb of God bore away our sin in Calvary. It is finished, he cried. And the veil of the temple, the veil of the Naos, within that holy place that Ezekiel saw, where only the high priest could enter with the blood of a sinless lamb, a spotless lamb. And Jesus cries, it's finished, the veil is rent, and you and I in Christ, we meet God through the veil of his flesh. We meet God through the veil of humanity, stepping in as it were in the Spirit and the Word of God in Christ. And you and I are the temple of the living God. We are that third temple still being built for the King of Kings to come. For he who is our great high priest in heaven will come again and he will enter and he will sit among this temple of God. This blood-washed temple. That's where we are this morning. And you are the temple. And God says, where have you been? He knows, but where have you been? What have you done? Are you destroying the temple? For God is coming again to sit in his temple. You know what I'll do? Well, I might do it next Sunday, I don't know. Some people fall out with me. 2 Thessalonians talks about a man who comes and sits in the temple of God, receiving worship as if he is God. Listen, do you know who that man is? Oh, it's an antichrist to come. No, it's the papacy. He sits on the Naos. It's not a Hieron temple. Look up the word. He sits in a body of people. And he came to rule over the people of the nations of the world. He's still sitting in it. You know, maybe you were challenged this morning. Brothers and sisters, look. Maybe you were challenged. That's good, because I used to love it when Pastor McConnell challenged you. This is not condemnation. I trust that we are all challenged. going into the new year. Now, people have asked me, why do we not have a New Year's Eve service? Now listen, I have nothing against anybody wanting to go and do a New Year's Eve service, but I'll tell you why I haven't ever held a New Year's Eve service. Because you have New Year's Eve and Old Year's Night. You know, which one is it? Is it Old Year's Night or New Year's Eve? Well, do you know what that is? That is the remembrance of a god called Janus with two faces. One face looked forward, one face looking back, and they worshipped him coming into what they call the new year. His face that looked for the new year to the old year's night. That's why I don't hold New Year's Eve services. This temple matters. It matters to me. You, the temple, I'm here as the shepherd, the senior pastor, Glenn and Andrew and Jeff, of the sheep that are here. You're the temple. And people will make New Year's resolutions and they'll be broke 1 minute after New Year. Some will keep it for a while longer. I don't make them either. I walk my life before God all year. Here's what I'm trying to say to you, brothers and sisters, this morning. What about getting into 2025? We do as it said in verse 19. I never got to it. Let me just read it out to you. First Chronicles. And I'll look at it next week if the Lord wills it. 1 Chronicles 23. And this hit me like a ton of bricks. I'm praying that the Lord would give us a brick, a hero, and a brick temple to worship in. So chapter 22, verse 19. And this jumped at me. Now, set your heart and your soul to seek the Lord your God. Arise therefore and build ye the sanctuary of the Lord. What about that being a set argument for our hearts? Every time we go astray, every time we go to falter, every time we start to wane, think of the word, and this has been in my heart and mind right through the whole week. Now set your heart and your soul to seek the Lord your God. Arise therefore and build ye the sanctuary of the Lord to bring the ark of the covenant which represents Christ and the holy vessels of God into the house that is to be built in the name of the Lord. Let's set ourselves. Let's set our hearts. Let's set our souls to seek the face of the Lord in the coming year. In our closet of our individual lives and also conglomerately as we gather together. Let's set our hearts to be out. What about the prayer meetings? Be out at the prayer meetings. Be out during the week. Be out in the Sunday morning round the table. Get out in the Sunday night. Let's set our hearts, and then we'll arise when the door opens. But let's build the temple here, the spiritual temple of you and I and all who will join us for the glory of Christ. May God bless us this morning. May God bless us all this morning. That's a New Year's Eve message for you, and it's not New Year's Eve. There you are, right? Or a New Year message for you, and it's not the New Year. But God bless us. And someday I'm going to do a teaching on all of these so-called gods and show you what they mean and who they are. And maybe you'll understand me a wee bit better. And sometimes I get a wee bit, even with reformed people, sometimes I despair because they look more toward brick and mortar than to the spiritual body of Christ, the temple in our midst. Sometimes I despair at it. Team, would you come up, please? Let's receive the Lord's offering, his portion this morning. Glad to get away home. God bless us all.